The Teaching Gallery at Hudson Valley Community College has announced this wonderful exhibit. It's currently on display now. It's called Floating World, an exhibition of paintings by artist Maggie Mailer. It is on view through October 22nd. The paintings in Mailer's Floating World are richly layered. They are these ambiguous landscapes that embody the artist's willingness to trust her viewers. Mailer says the title refers to the floating world of these 18th century Japanese prints, which we'll talk about in just a moment, this worldview based on hedonism and pleasure and escapism, a world envisioned to be safe from danger, sadness, or disasters, both real and imagined. So, you know, a place that I think we can all say, oh, that would be nice. Mailer's painting process is an intentionally unscientific combination of instinct, skill, accident, and trust. As I mentioned, the exhibit runs through the 22nd of October at the Teaching Gallery at Hudson Valley Community College. This morning, we welcome artist Maggie Mailer. We also welcome Tara Fracalosi, who is the founding director of the Teaching Gallery at Hudson Valley Community College. And it's a great pleasure to have you both here. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's great to be here, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you.
Very nice. So, Tara, let us begin with you as to the Teaching Gallery and how this particular exhibit came about.
The Teaching Gallery, we show professional artists throughout the year. And I usually do the fall exhibition, the opening exhibition of our season, with a semi-local, semi-regional solo show of an artist. I've known Maggie's work for a long time, both as an artist and as a gallerist. And I've been watching it and kind of thinking in the back of my head for several years. I don't know if I told you that.
Now's a fine time for it to come out. That's
good.
You've been on my mind for a while.
That I wanted to do a show of her work. I've really liked it, and it finally just came about last year. And one of the things that I think worked out really nicely is that while I've always loved her work, I love this body of work more than anything I've seen in the last several years. It just has kept getting better and better.
So then to Maggie comes the question of, we've talked several times, so this is a work in progress for you over several years.
You mean this particular body
yes.
of work? I think it developed, without my realizing it, probably the genesis of it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, it's hard to, you can't really pin down when an idea starts. They
right.
have a life of their own. I was looking at a lot of floating world imagery, 18th and 19th century prints by the artist Hiroshige, and he's been an influence for the last several years. So that's been an ongoing theme. And when Tara proposed the show, I was actually debating between two different titles and two different ways of approaching the show. And the other idea was to call it Cliffhangers. And I was really excited about that idea. And then my husband dashed it. He thought that was just too silly. But the reason I was excited about Cliffhangers was because it felt like it pulled in what's happening politically and culturally, you know, with the election and also with the themes that I've been sort of obsessed with for the last, I don't know, 5 years to do with the climate, to do with how do we go through our daily lives and deal with the news that we hear on a daily basis. How do you digest that when everything feels like a cliffhanger, you know, when you hear about the icebergs melting and you know, and then you go on and pick up your kid from school and you forget about it. So in a way, that is the emotional undertone of this body of work. And I was drawn to the floating world images because they are about escapism and hedonism. And they're also incredibly beautiful. And so that was one strain of influence that fed this work.
Talk a little bit about the artist and about why it was such an influence of what you think they touched and what it touched in you.
Well, one of the reasons I'm drawn to this, to Hiroshige's work, aside from the astonishing luminosity, is the fact that it was made seemingly all at once, that they were woodblock prints that were made maybe in two or three layers, but there was an immediacy to the process. My process has always, my habits have been fairly laborious. It takes me an incredibly long time to make a painting. lots of layers, lots of scraping, lots of thinking and rethinking. And, you know, it's like writing a novel. So you know, I don't have sort of a casual attitude about painting. And over time, I've thought, do I really have to do this over and over again? You know, perhaps right. there's a way to work in this fresh, immediate way. So I was drawn to his work. That was one of the reasons. And I mean, ironically, it's just one layer, it's just one element in the paintings, because they are still pretty laborious and layered, and not entirely. Some of them have no paint in sections, which we can talk about.
Yeah. And that is, how much of that is of inspirational at the moment, and how much of that is planned out of what is going to be on that canvas?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wanted to set myself up. I wanted to feed cues to myself that would become subliminal, that I would forget about, and then they would just, I mean, the idea was that they would just emerge on their own, with their own timing and, you know, in the precise direction and composition that needed to happen for the painting without too much planning on my part. So I did a bit of research at the beginning, and I was looking at sort of a crazy array of influences. Some of them are comic book imagery, yantras, the rebus form, the whole idea of cliffhangers, and then the 19th century landscape, romantic landscape painting that I'm always drawn to, and floating world imagery. So I spent a lot of time looking at this material and letting it you know, marinate, and then I just sort of went to town, and I didn't have any plan. I just started working, and it was an interesting process.
The idea being, when it comes to cliffhangers,
yeah.
we don't know how this is going to end, right?
Exactly.
We have
yeah.
all this going on in the world, and we don't know how this is going to end.
Yeah, yeah. It's, to use my father's favorite word, it's an existential state that we've all become quite familiar with. You know, and painting is a lot like that too. It's you know, you're sort of always at the, you feel like you're on the edge of a cliff in terms of your own ability to concentrate, in terms of the materials that you have on hand, and how far you can push an idea. How long can you stay in this bubble of creative energy? And you know, and because you're figuring things out as you go, or at least I do, there is always this edge that I'm meeting in the painting process. And so the idea of a cliffhanger, really feels relevant.
I don't want to get off the topic here,
sure.
but I do have to ask you this question, because you mentioned your father, and given his political thoughts.
I wish he was around right now.
I mean, you would have, right? I mean, I think we all wonder
yeah, yeah.
what your father, of course, the great Norman Mailer.
I'm trying to contact him, you know, through the
of
ethers.
What he would make of what we're seeing right now. Excuse me. Do you know if his path crossed with Donald Trump ever?
Oh, it's, I should know this. I don't know that they actually, I think they probably did sit next
yeah, it seems hard to believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know exactly, but I really would love to know what he would be writing right now. And, you know, it's funny because I think that this obsession that I have with comic books might be influenced by my father's thinking. I was never interested in anything political, but lately I've had this notion that because the format of comics is a kind of coded visual language that compresses ideas, it's a kind of immediate representation of thought, that there's a way in which comics can somehow smuggle ideas into the public mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this whole thing that just came out with G.B. Trudeau, who wrote the comic strip about Trump running for president back in the 80s. He came up with this.
Yes.
I think in like 87 or something.
There's this beautiful new collection called Huge, Gary
right.
Trudeau and
yeah,
Doonesbury.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which is beautiful.
So I heard that, and I was already thinking about comic book, you know, the graphic quality of it, and how that affects us, and wanting to bring that into my paintings as a counterpoint to my own personal habits, you know, wanting to use a kind of shared visual language. And so when I heard that, I just thought that's you know, perhaps he planted this idea without realizing it, and, you know, perhaps he gave Trump the idea
yeah.
to run for president. You know, and so I think that people don't realize of course everyone knows, you know, the power of the visual image, but there's this subliminal quality that I'm sort of fascinated with.
And also, and because your father was always good for putting on a good show in his day.
Oh, yes.
So the fact that you have this guy who, I mean, your father at one point was toast of the town in New York and was famous for putting on a show. And here's this other guy, a completely political opposite, I believe.
Yeah, of course.
To be... You know, but less genuine in that showmanship.
Yeah. You know what, Joe? You're going to have to, I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I think I got a text from my father. So you're going to have to contact him. You can text with him and you guys can discuss this.
I mean, but it's fascinating. I mean,
you have to think
about it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, you know, my father's thinking he was such a genius with political material. But, you know, enough about him.
I understand. I know that. I apologize. We go as far as we can go, and then we stop. I understand. Okay, so the exhibit, when you look at it in its totality, is this still a work in progress for you, or is it done?
No, it's done. There's a room on the upper level that is sort of a project room. And has paintings in it that are in varying degrees of completion. Then there's an installation in the same room, which has material. Now, there are no instructions for this, but again, with the idea of these subliminal instructions or social media, you know, if someone picks up on it, the idea is that they can actually take some of these materials and walk up to the paintings. They're basically colored paper and very intense pigmented paper. And they have viewfinders cut out in them. So the idea is to walk around, walk up to the painting with these different intensely colored frames and look at them through the frame and zero in on sections of the painting and then take blue painter's tape, which painters, I think it's just a thing that painters always have
sure.
in the studio. It's like a trope.
Yeah.
You know, and add to the painting in a temporary way. It's a little bit like commenting on Facebook. You know, you put your little piece on the painting.
And I would think as someone who's running a gallery that you love that idea of people being able to interact with the art.
Absolutely. And not just as the gallery, but because we're a gallery at a college.
Yes.
It's really important, and this is one of the things that Maggie and I were talking about when we were installing the show and she was sorting out what would happen with that project space. It's just the upstairs gallery, but it's its own space, so it's nicely separated.
Mm-hmm.
It's contained. Yeah.
As Tara put it, the craziness is contained in this room.
No, I don't know if it's in this room, but you know, it's really for me, it's a way for our students to look at and process another way of making work and interacting with work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the beginning of the semester, of the school year, so there are first year students who've never been to college, who have never been to the gallery, and they come in and they say, like, what is going on here? And then there's more advanced students who come in and they're like, this is what I've been looking for the last year.
Hmm.
So the different registrations and the different reactions that the students are having is I think what's maybe secretly was behind saying, yeah, let's do this,
mm-hmm.
knowing
yeah.
that they'd all have a different input to it.
Mm-hmm. There's also a piece in that room which is I call Bubblegum Rebus, which is made up of lots of little paintings and scraps of studio material, sandpaper, which actually forms a sentence. And, you know, you might have to spend 1,000 years to decode it. But there's another sort of quasi-sculpture installation to the left of it, which I called Suggestion Box, but I should have called it Ballot Box, because it has
red
pen. In Breakaway Glass, which actually yes. came from a real car accident that I was in earlier in the summer, and then a blue pen embedded in glycerin soap. And so you have to choose a pen, you know, like the Matrix,
yes.
And then write and then decode this text. So, you know, a lot of what's going on in that room has to do with how we decode our lives, how we decode news, information, paintings, you know, that the material doesn't exist until you interact with it.
So Tara just mentioned the reaction the students have and how they respond to it. How interested are you in that response when it comes to the further creation of the work in the future? Meaning, So you look at it and you say, oh, this is how people respond. And does that inform you to the future, or is it more just a, oh, that's interesting,
you
and you move
how
on?
How might it affect the work that I do? I don't know yet because I haven't studied it enough. You know, I'd have to sort of treat it as a real laboratory project. And actually, I'm going to collect all the texts that people write and use that in the next
piece. But you want to do that.
I want to look at that. It's like data collecting for me. I want to know how people interact with it. You know, and it teaches me as well. You know, how, if I'm going to make an interactive project, how can I make this as meaningful as possible and as interesting as possible? It's not automatic, you know, and we had the opening night, it was great, and everybody was adding to the work. And then I realized in the middle of that, that was not my intention. I want people to interact one at a time and feel like they are actually making their own painting. I learned something, you know, already.
Because so many galleries have the guest book. And people can respond and put their responses on it. And many artists will take that book, close it, and then put it in a closet and say, I don't want to read it because I don't want to feel like I'm attending my own funeral. You know, I don't want to hear what people are saying about me right now.
Right.
But for you, it's more specific to the work and would be interesting in the future.
And again, I don't know how it will unfold.
Yeah.
It's always a big empty, it's a big unknown with any new work. But I've really enjoyed having the I'm glad that I stepped out of my normal, sort of showing habits and made this more of a public piece, at least in this room upstairs.
Yeah. And the rest of the gallery is a pretty straight hang. So one can come in and look at a lot of work just beautifully installed, and here it is, and it's a, you know, here are the paintings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you move upstairs and you move into this other space and everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can move out and go back into these really lovely, complete paintings. So I think that's another thing in terms of maybe it encourages people to more actively engage with the paintings that are done and complete and just hung on the wall. Come on.
Yeah.
Think.
Yeah, because looking, it's not a passive.
Sorry, we're
at
college.
You know,
think, damn it. The Teaching Gallery at Hudson Valley Community College announces its Floating World, an exhibition of paintings by artist Maggie Miller. It's on view through October 22nd, hvcc.edu/teaching gallery for more information. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Maggie and Tara, I thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck. Again, the exhibit's on display through the 22nd of October. Thank you so much for
sharing with us.
A delight to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.